Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.
On this episode of Negative Modifier, we'll be playing the game Delta Green. Delta Green is a mature tabletop RPG that tackles various dark and unsettling themes and topics that some listeners may find traumatizing, harmful, or generally uncomfortable. Listener discretion is advised. To kind of set the scene, Agent Sanguine, you are roaming the house at this point. Agent Snail, you have recently regained consciousness on the couch. You've had a bit of a revelation about the nature of this house, that, like, however monstrous Skip Mills became, there was a little bit of human rational thought somewhere in there type of thing buried amongst all of this weird kind of sexual fugue state he found himself in. And Agent Star, you have found a body. There is a destroyed roof above it from something crashing out through the roof. I'm not going to lie, this is not exactly looking like a great situation to find yourself in. Oh, and it's getting dark. Night is rapidly approaching, which means temperatures are going to go down, and you have some type of eel parasite thing that came out of Skip Mills's neck locked in the freezer.
Look, I think it's time we get the hell out of here. Something smashed through the roof upstairs. We gotta find it.
What do you mean something broke through the ceiling? Like, something caved in? There's, like, something else that's with the body? How did the ceiling cave in?
No. Something busted through the roof out of the house.
What? Oh, fuck. Okay. Shit. So there's Skips, which is here. Are there, like, family photos anywhere around the house and stuff? Does it only...
There are.
How many people are in the family photos?
So there are two people. A woman that is older than Skip that kind of vaguely resembles her. If you had to guess, a mother or an aunt of some kind.
Okay.
Now that you're kind of taking a minute to look around some more, this is not the house of a bachelor. The interior design is kind of gaudy. Like, it's got a kind of a bit of a dated look to it. There's also a bit of a feminine kind of energy to the furnishings of the house that are not covered in pornography, courtesy of Skip's wallpaper treatment.
Is Agent Snail, like, hanging out on, like, a grandma couch, or does it seem like a tasteful couch?
Probably closer to grandma. I'd say more gaudy than anything else.
Okay.
It's not fashionable by any measure. It's probably a little more function over form, but at the same time, there's a bit of a dated look to it, too.
Okay. So there's possibly two people here. You said that there was a corpse upstairs?
Yeah.
Is it recognizable?
Not really, no.
Okay. What could have busted out? Oh, fuck. We have a copy of the drawings, correct?
Yeah, sure. That's a note. You can slip that in a pocket easily enough.
Okay. I guess I will kind of pull out my notes that I happen to have and kind of flip through some of the pages. This thing. Do you remember this thing? Do you remember looking at this thing when we had pulled the files out of the green box? So, whatever the fuck that we pulled out of Snail's neck, do you think this thing has, like, a weird little tentacle tail? Do you think that has any kind of connection with what could have, I don't know, bust through the roof?
Maybe, probably, I don't know. I think, more importantly, that thing was burrowing into his fucking neck. Is he gonna be okay?
Look, he's not doing great at the moment, so silver linings, if we have to take care of him.
I mean, have you, like, you looked, like, does he look fine? You know, where it was trying to burrow in?
You know what? I haven't had a chance yet just because I didn't want to prod around. When I was extracting that thing, I cut a little too deep. He almost bled out. I think giving him a little bit of time to get a little bit of constitution back should give us a little bit more leeway just in case if I aggravate that neck wound even more. But keep an eye on him just because if he starts freaking out or either violently or sexually, I think we need to call it.
Look, I don't want to fucking kill the guy, all right? But I want to make sure that he's going to be fine. And it's your job to make sure he's going to be fine. Okay, and if he's not going to be fine, then we'll figure out what to do. I don't want to turn into another fucking Skip Mills while we're out in the field.
Let's take it in steps. I can't really give him a sedative at the moment because I don't know if he's ever going to wake up from it. But let's keep an eye on him. But yeah, I got you. I'm going to make sure that we're covered.
Okay.
All right. Okay, order of operations. I can't think about that fucking hole in the ceiling at the moment, but we need to get this refrigerator into a car. We need to get Snail into a car. And we need to burn this place down.
Only Sand has looked at the body yet. Like, you are the doctor. Might be worth spending some time looking at that before you go.
Mm. And then, shit, I need to confirm whether or not the older woman is the body upstairs. Help me with this. How gnarly should I expect? Am I going to be looking at ground meat when I go upstairs? Am I going to be looking at like a pincushion? What's going on?
It's a dead body and it looks like something ripped out of her chest.
You could have opened up with that detail first and I rush upstairs.
Wouldn't be so excited.
So I want to rush upstairs cursing as I'm hoofing it and I want to examine the body.
All right, so you're going to kind of do a full examination on this?
Yes. I would imagine I've got some time.
Yeah, you got no time pressure right now. So yeah, I was going to say we'll cover the things that as a doctor you notice pretty damn quickly on this thing. So the body is definitely a woman. You'd guess kind of just based on looking at it that, yeah, it's probably Skip Mills's mom. The age roughly lines up with that context in mind. Everything about this body doesn't make any sense. The wound kind of definitely came from inside. The skin is splayed out, but also there's like an egg-like hardening of the dermis. And that's sure as hell weird. It's also bloated. She exploded, like, as best you can tell. Like, whatever happened ripped her open. But also, she was completely exsanguinated before that explosion happened.
Shit, okay.
And now that you're doing that, give me a sand check at plus 20 because you were warned about this and you had a chance to kind of collect yourself before you dove into this.
Sand check. We are looking at a 98% failure. I almost hit that 99. Oof.
Ooh. Good news. Only 1 point of sand damage from violence on this one. Like, this is not normal. Like, and it's, you're digging up in this thing's meat. Like, it's very unsettling kind of getting this close with whatever the hell happened. Like, again, it's like something exploded out from inside the body. And as you're kind of going over what remains of it, you notice a couple things. Of the many kind of things you've noticed so far on this thing, like it's exploded, it got exsanguinated, like all that is kind of relatively surface level to a certain extent. As you're more methodically going over this, kind of keeping it together as best you can, you realize that there is very obviously a four-pronged puncture wound that very eerily matches the one you saw back at the morgue on the John Doe. It also, and you'd have to maybe go check, you're not 100% sure, matches the thing you locked in the freezer pretty aggressively.
Oh, shit. So I want to start palpitating the body for puncture wounds and see if it oozes any kind of orange. I know that the body's been exsanguined, but I want to see if there's any fluids left.
There is not. Like, it's been completely exsanguined.
Okay.
But kind of going back to the impossibilities of this, like, it's weird. Like, that does not make a lot of sense. Like, you're right, there should be some blood, there should be some liquid, there should be something.
And there's no really kind of any wet marks around the body or anything else like that.
I did not say that. There are several bloody handprints kind of on the bed around the body.
On the bed, around the body, do they match the corpse's body on the ground? Actually, do I see the corpse's face? Is it still intact?
It's very bloated. It's weird. Like, it's gone through a process of bloating. Like, it's not been destroyed, I guess, if that's what you're asking. But on the topic of the bloody handprints, they are most definitely not human. They are vaguely primate, but definitely not human. And they maybe seem to kind of end in claws. Now that you're kind of looking around more, you see claw marks on the walls that kind of lead up to the hole in the ceiling.
Fucking great. Okay. And how fresh are they?
I mean, the blood is dry, but
okay,
you'd have no way of knowing how fresh the claw marks are.
Okay. I was kind of more seeing whether or not the blood was fresh or not. Oh boy. Okay. Shit. All right. And I just kind of take this information and I kind of pop downstairs and I head to the freezer drawer where I had put the thing in. Star, I need you to just be ready to shoot something if it starts to freak out.
Sorry, what are you doing?
I need to kill whatever the fuck this is, and I need to make sure that it's dead because we cannot have this thing escape or do whatever. Because what I think is happening is the fact that this thing had gone inside the body upstairs, incubated, and whatever the hell ended up popping out is what made that hole in the ceiling. Because there's when I say handprints, I mean handprints, and I do air quotes as I'm saying that. Because those things do not have the same, like, they do not look human whatsoever. They end up in claw marks. There's like scratches on the walls and stuff.
The only thing I'm going to ask is, are you sure you can kill it?
Fuck, no, I'm not 100% certain that we can kill it.
Then I think we need to just bring it to the green box. We've taped up the fridge. I think we need to throw it in the green box. And, you know, maybe once friend snail there is recovered a little more, we can try some heroics.
Okay. Well, we need something better than the current green box we have now, because we can't have this thing being popped open. Shit. I saw the same markings in the body at the morgue. We might have more than one situation on our hands.
Well, what are the cases? We need to move then.
Do you think we can still get access to the morgue?
I don't know.
All right.
Whatever the case is, we just need to stuff this somewhere. Because we got to burn this place down to hide the bodies. Or at least the state that they're in. And then we've got to stuff this fridge somewhere. Then we can hunt down whatever the fuck is doing this. Maybe get you into the morgue.
Give me a search.
Which one of us?
Any of you, except for a snail who's still kind of recuperating on the couch.
Can we both?
Yeah.
79 out of 26 failure.
73 out of 48%.
I mean, yeah, so you have this thing that's in the freezer. I will say that the cold did seem to maybe slow it down some, put it to rest. You're not quite sure. It was trying to escape the freezer, and now it's not, or maybe it's lurking in there. You would have no way of knowing. Burning down the house is not a terrible idea, given the whole two dead bodies in there type of situation. That might draw some undue attention. The most important point I'm going to bring up is moving a fridge under the best of conditions is hard. There is an ice storm out there, and you would be driving around a fridge in an ice storm to an unpicked location so far, and there is something that came out of Skip's mom out there still. You may have heard it earlier even. And as far as Agent Sanguine knows, you're not sure that John Doe and Skip Mills ever crossed paths. The timelines don't line up that way.
Oh, shit.
What's on your mind?
Okay, so why would it leave this house? How cold is the house at the moment?
I mean, it's not cold, but it's colder than, it's not tropical by any measure. Like, the house has heat going on, but like, it's not great. It's cold. It's warmer than the outside, definitely, though.
Okay, so this, I'm just gonna go with what my gut instinct is telling me. This thing was initially found in the jungle and is more used to warmer climates. The fact that whatever I just pulled out of Snail's neck is in the freezer and has stopped moving, it's Schrodinger's neck worm at this point, but it's stopped. So I would say that the cold has definitely helped in this situation. If we take the fridge out, there's a good chance that we'll have some time before the fridge box loses or starts warming up again. But we can't guarantee that it's going to burn alongside the house. So we have to take it with us. We might have a good chance if we put it in the current green box, now that I'm kind of rethinking about this. There's a whole bunch of shit all over the place. Maybe if we throw it over, or there's security measures at least.
Give me an intelligence.
Intelligence. 32 success out of 70%.
A unrefrigerated ammo can was capable of keeping this thing contained for quite some time.
Okay. Thank you for that. But thankfully, an ammo can was able to hold it in.
All right.
My theory right now is that whatever busted out of that corpse upstairs might be looking for someplace warm. Thankfully, we have the power map. We were looking for hotspots. So do you still remember any of that information?
Yeah. Can I roll an intelligence check?
I mean, you have that. You printed off the information for it. It's available to you.
I think you've got the paper with it.
Oh, shit. Yeah. It was yes, it was printed out. Okay. Let's get the fridge in the car. Let's get the fridge in the car. Let's get Snail in the car, and let's try to find a place to put the fridge. I think we need to regroup, supply up, and then possibly find out where the hell whatever made that hole went. Does that sound like a solid plan, or what ideas do you have?
That sounds like a good idea. I'm going to step outside really fast. I'm going to see if this thing, if any tracks are still visible. They might not be, but I'm going to take a look. I mean, they're probably not, if I'm being honest. But maybe we'll be lucky.
All right, so you're outside. Give me a search.
Could I give you a survival check?
Nah, because you're looking for something, I guess. Survival may come into play a little bit later.
36% failure.
I mean, you see marks that might be from this thing, or just might be wear and tear on the house. You're not seeing anything on the ground, but you are seeing plenty of power lines.
All right. Just head back inside.
All right.
I have a theory. If you remember where the power is on, because it doesn't like the cold, I bet it's looking for somewhere warm.
Yeah. What about it?
I bet it's going to those places that still have power.
I kind of reference the list that we have, or just the printout that we have. What is the closest, I guess, what house is using the most power around that's closest to us, or if there's a place that's using up a lot of power at the moment?
We've talked about this before. Like, staying warm does not necessarily mean more power necessarily.
Okay. But most of this area is powered and whatnot, correct? Because, like, I did just shove it into the freezer.
Yeah, it's the house has power. Like, there is power in the area. I will give you that the next closest house that has power is 1824 West Ambrosia Street, which is also within kind of a radius that makes sense for where the John Doe was found in the phone booth.
I think we got a hit, which is, hold up. And I cross-reference some addresses that I happen to have. Well, sucks to be us. This is the same, well, not same, but this is around the phone booth that the John Doe ended up being found at. So we think, oh, sweet Jesus, I hope it's not a nest. You've got a gun. I've got a gun. Snail's got a gun. And that's it? We don't really have very much else?
Do we need anything else?
Was hoping for it. Fuck me. Okay. Is there a dolly in the house? Can I look for a dolly to help move this fridge?
Yeah, if you're just looking to move the fridge, like, with enough time, you can find stuff for that. I will say that Skip Mills is a man who does physical labor and stuff like that. He might have tools that could be improvised into weapons or something like that. You also could go back to that equipment truck you borrowed that then crashed. That might have something that would be used as a weapon there.
Can I look for like a wood cutting axe?
Yeah. Yeah. So give me a search. Give you a plus 20 on that.
That's 42% success.
All right. So you find a variety of things that could be improvised weapons. You find some kitchen knives, like nothing amazing, except that you definitely find a wood axe. More importantly, kind of stashed in the garage of this house is a chainsaw.
Oh, boy. I'm going to pick up the chainsaw and the axe and walk back inside.
All right.
Look what I found.
How is any of that going to help move this?
This ain't for moving a fridge.
Oh, hell yes. Do you mind if I take the axe? With the whole fact that I just completely whiffed on trying to hit the thing that was, or trying to hit Skips's head, I feel a little bit more comfortable.
I wasn't offering the chainsaw. He holds out the axe.
Yeah, I take the axe, but I'm going to start loading up the truck that we have with us. Let's load up. Let's see if we can pick up anything from the equipment truck.
Are we leaving the fridge here until we're done?
No, we gotta burn this house.
All right. Look, you got anything you can, you know, stab in the leg, a snail, wake him up, get his blood pumping?
I was only able to kind of take some bottles with me. I'm pretty sure if we head into the equipment truck, I could see if there's any kind of extra medical or first aid kits or anything else like that. I don't know if exactly adrenaline is going to be the most effective thing right now, especially because that will wear off and that will make him crash.
We kind of just need him operational at this point.
All right. Well, let me see if I could rouse him.
All right.
I mean, he's awake. He is conscious. He's just not doing great.
Hey, snail. How are you doing?
As good as can be, I guess.
All right. We are going to torch the house, so I need you out of it. We have a car. Obviously, you're not driving. So if you can get yourself into a comfortable position, so that way you can kind of rest up and whatnot. We have some errands to run and we're going to have to possibly hit you with some adrenaline when we need it. If we can find it, if we can have access to it, just because I've got some bad news. I really only have bad news. There's a corpse upstairs that kind of blew up. Not really blew up in the sense of it's ground meat all over the place, but you ever see Alien? Heard the chest blew up, and whatever blew up out of the chest blew up out of the house. There's a giant asshole in the house. I'm pretty sure whatever that thing is going to look like the thing that was written in the notes. We'll go over more details or whatever the heck, but can you fire a gun?
I'll try my best, but I'm not exactly in the best shape I've been in a while.
Yeah, I realize that. So I gave you those Vicodins. Don't overdo them. You're not in the best possible way to kind of, I would say, handle that. I'm going to hold up. I pop into the kitchen and I only kind of shut off the fridge or tape the freezer shut. Is the fridge stocked? Is there anything in the fridge?
What are you looking for, I guess?
Juice?
I mean, yeah, probably.
Okay. I feel like old ladies would have juice.
Yeah. I guess what are you trying to do with it?
I'm going to give a snail a juice box and tell him to get in the car.
Maybe not a juice box, but yeah, there's probably something drink-like in there you can give him.
All right. Drink this. It'll help just kind of hopefully get your blood pumping. And we'll take care of you, right? Let me know if you're feeling any kind of weird or anything else like that, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll let you know.
Cool, cool. So we load up Skips' truck?
Yeah, this all takes some time. Like, it's, you get the fridge on there eventually. Like, it is definitely night by the time you're ready to go, though, at this point, though, too. So where are you going at this point?
So my initial plan was to drop off the fridge, but I don't know if that's going to be a good idea now. But at the same time, we have hotel rooms, correct?
No.
It's only been a day?
Yep. This is all one day still. Actually, with that in mind, give me an intelligence check.
Any of us, or just Sanguine?
Any of you. All of you.
34% success.
26 out of 55 success.
40 out of 45% success.
All right. So as you're pulling out into the night, a couple things occur to you. This thing's attracted to heat. You've kind of already established that. You have a rough idea where to go. There's not that many big heat sources in the town right now.
Oh.
One of them is probably where the most people are gathered as kind of relief efforts. So anyone who's been displaced is probably like at a gymnasium or a large gathering area. And that'll be a big heat source, hypothetically. And you have no idea how many of these things are or aren't out there, or really how these things are made. Or so far, as best you can tell, the slug like thing is part of something, but you actually haven't seen how that works or what it does or anything like that.
Two things before we leave, Charlie, can I make sure that this chainsaw has fuel in it?
Oh yeah, that has fuel. I'm not gonna do that to you.
And then we have seen a map back in the office, right?
Yeah.
Could I make like a navigation check or something to guess or sort of know where we are and where the closest relief center would be?
Yeah.
16 out of 54% success.
Yeah, so the major relief center is the Truman Memorial High School. And you'd have seen kind of as part of the paperwork when you first showed up that the entire building is being run off of generators. Like, it's pumping out a lot of heat. It's a refuge spot. Like, it's where anyone without power is going to, hypothetically.
We need to go to that high school.
Wait, the refuge center? Why are we going to the high school?
The heat. People. It's attracted to heat.
But you also kind of maybe need to go to 1824 West Ambrosia Street, too.
Which one's closer?
1824 West Ambrosia Street, definitely.
Why don't we go hit 1824 West Ambrosia first, then the high school?
All right. Yeah. That's probably a good idea. Let's make sure that the next closest power is clear, or if anything else. If it's attracted to heat, is setting this house on fire right now the best thing? Actually, if it is not the best thing, can we make it the best thing? And can we booby trap it?
Well, we probably shouldn't be booby trapping it. If there's a fire, there's going to be a response from the relief center.
What if we call in a... No, I don't think that a detective was not too fond of us or happy with us. Last I remember. Never mind. All right, let's check out Ambrosia Street. Rochambeau, and who's driving?
Snail, get in the driver's seat.
All right.
Look, he's a better driver than either of us, probably even in his impaired state.
So as they're like discussing that, I'm like slowly climbing myself into the car's driver's seat.
Get in the fucking back. I'm going to drive slow. No, this is insane.
No. He drives. He's a driver. You've seen it.
I watched him. You jumped out of the car. I watched him, experienced him, actually, driving.
Do you think you'll do better?
So, as they're going back and forth, I interrupt and chime in. Look, if for whatever reason the car goes out of whack, you're in the driver's seat, it's harder for you to get out. Better chance of bailing out. Not in the driver's seat. Let me go down with the damn ship, if that's the case. Or, in this case, the car.
This is insane. I can't believe this is happening. Okay, sure. And I get in the back.
Good enough for me. I'll ride in the bed with the fridge.
All right, never mind then. I'm going to be in passenger side. Just make sure that you're going to be all right. All right, Snail.
Sanguine, give me your jacket.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Toss him the jacket.
I'm going to double up on jackets.
All right. Snail, give me a drive check. I'll give you a plus 20 if you're driving slow and kind of cautiously.
All right. I was just going to ask if I can get a little bit extra there on that, but okay. You said plus 20?
Yeah.
All right.
This fumbles.
Whew. 39 of 56 with a modified 20 additional success.
Hell yes.
All right. So it is slow going as you cautiously make your way to 1824 at West Ambrosia Street. It is most definitely night. The temperature has dropped. What few street lamps are working right now attempt to kind of banish the gloom. Not a lot of light sources out here. Like, you can now see which houses have power by, like, maybe a glow, and 1824 West Ambrosia Street is definitely a glow as you approach it. It's an older house. It's a century-old house that's been converted, as best you can tell, into a rental property of some kind. It's nice enough. It's got a porch. It's got a yard behind it that's spacious enough that you can park cars in if you so wish. It was a house at one point, so you can kind of see where someone's put maybe an extra door or two to kind of turn it into apartments, but yeah.
How far are we away from it? Moment.
How far do you want to be, I guess? Like, you can be 10 feet, you can be 100 feet.
I wanted to look to see if there was any kind of signs of movement or life. Like, looking through the windows, like, is it, like, curtained? Is it...
It is curtained.
Is curtained. Okay.
I also wanted to ask Charlie, on the way there, Star was going to keep an eye out. Did he see anything out of the ordinary? Anything strange? Hear another one of those screeches?
No, it could be an alertness.
96 out of 80% fail.
There was a lot of wind. There was movement. Yeah, there was crunch of tires on snow and ice. Like, it's hard to hear stuff from the back of a moving pickup truck in winter.
And it was very cold. Well, Star's going to hop out of the bed and start walking towards the door.
You're going to be good in the car?
Yeah. Oh.
You're bleeding out of your neck. I can't have you talk to people at the moment. I just want to make sure that you're going to be good with us leaving you here.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'm just going to, I'll just put the seat back as far as I can and just relax here.
All right. And I kind of open the door to kind of catch up with Star. Hey, right side, front pocket. It's kind of like a tube. Can you toss that over?
Yeah, he'll reach into the pocket and toss whatever he finds.
Okay. No, the other one. The other one that's in there.
He'll reach back in and toss the other one.
Perfect. And I kind of pop back into the car. Okay, so this one here is this is caffeine. If you're feeling kind of sleepy or anything else like that, maybe take one. Try to take it with water. There might be waters in the back. Or if you could dry swallow, it's great. But otherwise, here you go. And I close the door and catch up with Star. Hey, do you mind if I have my jacket back? It's fucking cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He'll hand the jacket back.
So the cover story, we're doing a wellness check. We're just doing a survey. Why are we here at night?
Can you remind me why we are here?
Well, this is the next closest house with power. And
yeah, we're just checking on the occupants. We'll tell them that we want them to go to one of the relief centers.
Plan shut down, conserving and rerouting power, so that way we can make sure that the power doesn't go out.
Yeah, making sure that we have enough. There isn't strain on the power going to the relief centers.
Perfect. Awesome. Okay. Cool. Let's make contact.
Yeah, I'll walk up and I will cop knock on the door.
There is no response from inside.
I don't like that. And I reach for my gun.
I'm going to see if the door is unlocked.
It is.
Door is unlocked.
Gun's ready. We just move and clear.
Yeah, I'm going to go on in.
Right behind you.
Except instead of a gun, I have a chainsaw.
You walked up to the house with a chainsaw?
Yep.
All right.
Actually, you know what? We were coming here to talk. Let me roll a check. Absolutely. I walked up there with the chainsaw. For anyone that's curious about what I rolled a 97% failure on an intelligence check.
I mean, maybe you're going to trim some trees or something, or if need be.
You ready to go in?
Yeah. Basic clearance. We're doing basic clearance, or you running it with that chainsaw? What are we doing?
Basic clearance.
All right. I'll follow you.
I will head in.
All right, so you open the unlocked door, it swings in, and there's a bit of a smell about this place, similar to the one you encountered back at Skip Mills's home. So as you step in, you enter into a relatively normal laid out house. To the left, as you enter, there is a staircase up to the second floor. You've pretty been a foyer of some kind. You'd guess there's kind of a den and living room space off to your right. You'd guess there's a kind of a kitchen and dining room off to your left based on telltale clues. And there is a, you're not quite sure what looking at it, kind of room dead ahead as you enter. Given that this is a converted apartment setup, it might be kind of an atypical layout at that point, but yeah.
Is there any sign of anyone being here recently?
I mean, aside from the fact the place has power and lights on and is warm, that's a pretty good indicator of it. But also, right across from you as you enter, you see some odd art. Overall, the house kind of at quick glance is decorated relatively well, but there's this blanket oddly kind of tacked to the wall directly across from where you entered the house.
I'll go pull the blanket down.
All right, so as you pull it down, it reveals bloody smears streaked across the wall. It almost looks like a struggle or something was dragged across it that was oozing blood.
How fresh is this blood?
It's dry.
Okay, so someone decided to try to hide that. And then just kind of like give it a couple sniffs. Can I try and pinpoint exactly what this familiar smell is? Like, is it like feces? Is it blood? Is it?
Oh, you most definitely can identify the smell. You were, after all, kind of inside the last source that you found of it. It was that weird dead body that you found back at Skip Mills' house, you're pretty sure, was the source of this very similar smell.
Okay, so something tried to cover that up, and I smell rot. We're going to have to make sure that this is another place that ends up, burning down too, probably.
It's nowhere near as strong for what it's worth.
Okay.
All right, you break right, I'll break left.
All right. I guess I move into the small enclosed door. I would be heading into the water closet.
All right. Normal, undisturbed bathroom. Nothing remarkable in here.
I open the toilet. I just kind of lift up. Is the toilet seat closed? Is it open?
I mean, are you asking like if you'd guess the inhabitants of this house are male or female based off of toilet seat position?
Oh, no. I mean, like in my mind, the toilet cover was closed because that's how I leave it. So I didn't know if there was something hiding in there.
No, I wanted to check to make sure. Nothing in there. No, it's a normal bathroom. You see some kind of early 20s cleaning supplies for various people. It's a mix of kind of stuff aimed at women and men. It's relatively on the cheaper side, as would make sense for college students, you'd guess.
Cool. Bathroom clear. And then I will move into the living room.
All right, so yeah, nothing immediately leaps out at you in the living room, both metaphorically and literally in this case. Back towards the side of the house opposite of where you came in from, you do see a small door going into that kind of room you couldn't quite place previously.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping back to Agent Star, though, for a second, you're entering the kitchen, correct?
Yeah, the dining room kitchen area.
So as you're kind of sweeping around there again, things seem normal enough in here, except for there are three large dog bowls filled with food, but you haven't heard any signs or seen any signs of a dog anywhere since you entered. Like, if this was a friendly set of dogs, they may have come up to greet you. If they were hostile dogs, maybe they should be barking or trying to attack you. Nothing.
All right. I will do a quick sweep, and then I will go check the door in the kitchen.
Unless you find nothing, but yeah, so looking out the back door, you see an alley where three cars are parked. There are two sedans and a Jeep. The two sedans are coated completely in ice, but the Jeep is clean. Give me an intelligence, or you can take a guess at what that means.
You know me. I mean, I know what that means, but I don't know if Star would know what that means.
All right, let's see that intelligence then.
He is a little bit of a dummy. 92% failure.
Yeah, that's definitely strange. Something about it probably means something to someone, but not so much to you. But yeah, there's nothing else really much to be found. There is a entrance to the basement.
Is the smell greater over by the basement door?
It is definitely a little bit stronger, yes.
Dining room, kitchen, clear.
I think I found where the smell is coming from.
I've got a door. I think it's going to be the room that's behind the blood smear. I just need to clear that and we're going to be good. And I approach the door. Do I hear anything on the other side?
No, you do not.
Is the door locked?
No.
All right. I open it and just kind of do a quick sweep. Is there anything in there?
So you notice two things immediately. First off, the desk has a portrait of your John Doe from earlier.
Oh, okay.
Doing a quick scan around, you realize that the John Doe's name is John Washington. He, as best you can tell, lived here. He was indeed a member of the National Guard, and he was called up to go help. He never made it, though, as best you can tell. There are several other documents that indicate he was also coming home from a reservist weekend. So he is active-ish duty in that area of it. You also find a set of keys with the Jeep logo on them. More importantly than that, though, the room is covered in numerous signs of struggle. There's blood on the walls. There's an overturned dresser, and the clothes have been kind of tossed out of it.
Shit.
Amongst the clothes, you recognize kind of partially what John Washington was wearing. Like, you find the other shoe.
The other shoe dropped. Fuck. Okay. I pop out of the bedroom and I meet up with Stark. Bedroom's clear. This is the John Doe's house. National Guard and whatnot. Help me search the room. I think this is just my intuition. If he's going to be part of National Guard, he's going to have some sort of like house weaponry or anything else like that. If we get lucky, we might score a shotgun, just home protection, whatever. It looks like he had somebody living with him. And if this is the John Doe, then I may or may not know what that smell of the rot was.
All right, let's go. Let's go take a look.
Can we case and search John Washington's bedroom?
Yeah, you can do a search on it. Give me a search.
84% failure.
Got a 47 out of 51% success on that search.
The bad news is you do not find any weapons. National Guardsmen typically don't exactly have either the money or kind of access to that type of stuff. They are National Guardsmen, after all. On top of that, this is a reservist. The good news is you don't find anything bad either. Like, it's all pretty mundane stuff. As best you can tell, John Washington was, by all measures, normal.
Does he happen to have, like, does he keep, like, a bat next to his bed for...
Sure, that you can probably find, yeah.
Hey, look at this. Here. Snail needs something if he gets back into a fight.
That's probably going to be a good thing, especially if his only means of defense is a gun in the state. Are you going to be cool here if I run this over to him?
We're going down to the basement. Star whips up the chainsaw and pulls on the pull cord to get it started.
It's because I feel like making you do this to see what happens. Give me a heavy machinery to see if you started on the first pull or not.
90% fail.
I mean, yeah, it's a great pull, but like no one starts a chainsaw on the first pull. But after a few slightly more embarrassed, hastier pulls, you get the thing up and running and it revs successfully. The basement from the top of the stairs is dark, but you do maybe see a light switch at the bottom of the stairs.
I will pull out my tac light and I will hand it to Agent Sanguine.
I was going to say, holding a chainsaw and a tactical light while cool sounding doesn't really sound physically possible.
No. I'm going to give it to Sanguine.
Can I tape this tac light together with your chainsaw? Can I just tape it on there?
Okay, let me explain how dumb an idea that is. How do you use a chainsaw?
Well, you swing it around, but like at the same time, if he's pointing the fucking blade at something.
You know what, Charlie? It may not be smart, but we should do it anyway.
Fair enough. Yeah, you kind of backtrack into the kitchen, you find some duct tape, and now you have what I'm sure the internet would call a tactical chainsaw.
All right, let's go.
I've got a flashlight that I can hold just in case if you notice something and you need to light something quicker. Hey, we invented you a flashlight chainsaw.
Agent Star revs it and opens the door and starts down the stairs.
All right. You get to the bottom step without incident. What do you do?
I'll turn the light on.
Yeah. So the light is slightly blinding. Unprotected incandescent light bulb flares to life in the bottom of the basement. And what you immediately see is maybe what you're expecting, but still not great. Lying across the room from you is a bloated body. Unlike the previous one you saw in this state, though, this one is not burst yet. Like, it's inflated almost. Like, its chest and abdomen cavity are almost like a balloon, and you can see something ever so gently moving inside of it. Give me a sand check.
42% success.
37% success.
All right, so you take no sand damage as you stare at a woman's face caught in a death mask of terror. She's slowly leaking that same strange orange fluid from her eyes and several cuts and wounds from her nose. You're not quite sure what's going on, but this is straight out of some horror movie. Would any of you have kids?
Yeah.
This is a macabre version of kind of what it would feel like to have a child moving below your partner's kind of belly, basically, kind of that you could feel the handprint and stuff out there, kind of feel the kick. This is that, but larger and sinister, like almost like something slithering below the skin or kind of slowly trying to push its way out. I guess, like, do you want to kind of approach the body and inspect the room some?
Yeah.
As you approach the body, you see a toolbox on the floor, and behind the body, you see a variety of kind of like the connections for a washer, dryer, and pipes and whatnot, and none of it's busted. Give me an intelligence.
That's incredible. A 13% success.
Oh my God. 36% success on my end, too.
All right. So looking at this, you kind of piece together the context clues. There's a toolbox here, but as best you can tell, nothing is broken, which means maybe this person was lured here, tricked here. Like, there's no reason, as best you can tell, for the toolbox to be here. There's no obvious signs of damage. There's no obvious signs of something needing to be repaired. And kind of as you're realizing this, you notice that behind you, on the wall alongside the stairs you came in, off in one corner, you see the basement cellar doors. And they have been kind of partially ripped open, partially bashed open. You see claw marks through the metal of them. And yeah, something forced its way down here. And along kind of the jagged hole that was ripped into this thing, you see some grayish flesh hanging off of the more sharp parts. Whatever did this, though, was strong and ferocious, and you'd guess probably something animalistic.
All right. Give me a hand with this, Sanguine.
What are we doing with
it? Well, that thing is in her stomach, and there's a dryer here.
Good idea. Honestly, I was thinking about the same thing. Part of me was thinking maybe we should take her outside just in case if that shit starts going crazy. The cold is going to help slow it down, but that just means that we're probably going to accidentally let that thing go. But if we could shove that body in the dryer, then awesome. I could just go ahead and tape that shit shut.
That's less morbid than what I was thinking.
So give me an alertness while you're talking about this.
48% success.
99% fumble. Here we go.
Star, you notice that the pregnancy, the inflation, it's not moving the way it was when you first came in. You'd swear it's almost like shifted in a way, like the body's still in the same spot, but like it's almost like whatever's inside has shifted in a way to kind of aim or look at you, like it's listening or kind of like trying to direct itself in your general location. Sanguine, you're distracted. So you're now going to give me a dodge at minus 20 as something catapults itself, tearing through the body at you.
See, this is so funny because I have like base level dodge, so I only have a 10% chance of success, and I have a 16% chance, and I rolled a 16%, which is so close, but that is a fail.
Could I attempt to do something, Charlie?
What are you thinking?
I think just out of reaction, Star wants to try to catch this thing.
I'll let you try that. Yeah, give me an unarmed combat to see if you can grab this thing out of the air.
68 out of 80% success.
All right. So you successfully kind of grab it mid-air. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I knew this was a bad idea, but, you know, instinct.
That would have been so funny if you were carrying the baseball bat and you just fucking home run that shit into the wall.
All right, so let's paint the scene for a second. What you've caught is this pink, fleshy thing. It's about the size of a small human, give or take, type of thing. Like, someone's roughly 5 feet tall, maybe, kind of thing. Looking at you, it's got kind of what appears to be roughly a face. It kind of is orangutan looking at quick glance, except its ears are very kind of cat-like. And now that you're looking at closer, there's a thin white fur across all of it. It has two large primate arms, but its body kind of slowly tapers down into a tentacle of sorts that ends in four sharp barbs. And yeah, you successfully managed to catch this, but it kind of then, like, as you've grabbed it, manages to kind of continue its momentum and just hauls off and slams one of its meaty fists into the side of your head for 6 points of damage.
Gotcha.
Oof.
I'm up. I'm still good.
I didn't hear no bell.
I didn't hear no bell.
Not this all, but everyone give me a sand check.
81% fail.
80% failure.
All right, it's going to be 1d6 of sand damage for helplessness.
I rolled a 5.
I rolled a 1.
I'm going to offload some of this because I don't want to go temporarily insane. I'm going to offload it onto my sister.
All right.
You know, thinking about, like, you know, just the young woman there. And yeah. So I'm going to lose 4. I offload 1.
All right.
I'm just going to eat the 1 sand point.
Sure. You both gain a point of helplessness, though, too.
All right.
Cool. I fumbled my alertness, so I'm going to imagine I don't notice the fact that something just shot out and, like, hit Star until he starts yelling or, like, I heard a fucking crack sound or something like that. So if we're going to be moving into actions, I think I would be moving last.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Oh, we're not even done with the resolution of shit?
Yeah, we're going to jump back to Agent Snail for a second now.
Oh, boy.
Agent Snail, you're sitting out alone in the dark in a car outside of a house that's all lit up. What are you doing right now?
I'm kind of just putting, like, oh, obviously I'm still trying to put pressure on my wound in my neck, because obviously I can't really, like, tie it off, because I'd start choking myself probably at that point. So I'm just kind of, like, just kind of sitting back, breathing, not trying to move too much, and then keeping pressure on the wound on my neck.
Do you have, like, the windows open to kind of be the cross breeze on the car or anything like that? Are you trying to stay warm? What are you doing?
Trying to stay warm, so windows are up.
All right. Are you staying awake? Are you kind of, like, dozing in and out? Like, what are you doing in your current set? You're kind of obviously not doing well, but...
I mean, I might be, like, a little... I mean, obviously with blood loss and all that, I'm assuming that I'm kind of dozing in and out, especially because I'm also on Vicodin. I'm assuming all these factors play into effect, and I'm just kind of, like, I may be fighting to stay awake, but I'm also definitely, like, it's a struggle to stay awake, I will say. It feels like, at least the way I'm picturing it, and I don't know if it makes sense from a game standpoint, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, so with all that in mind, give me a POW check.
POW check, you got it. 31 out of 75 success.
Yeah, so you're kind of fighting to stay awake, so give me an alertness at minus 20.
Alertness at minus 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're full of painkillers and pain.
95 out of 50 with a modified minus 20 failure.
You swear for a split second you see something kind of moving across, like the roof line or something, but it could just be the wind blowing snow or just, like, maybe a tree moving or something. Give me another POW check.
Right? POW check it is. 88 out of 75 fumble.
All right. So you're kind of moving in and out of consciousness right now, and you see something kind of drop from the second story of a house to the ground and slowly make its way towards the car. As it gets closer and kind of enters the light of the car, I'm assuming you have the headlights on, you see it's a humanoidish pink thing that has large, massive arms, kind of simian face, but, like, weirdly cat-like ears, but also just a circular mouth, a leech-like mouth full of hooked teeth. But most unsettling of all is that its lower half of its body kind of slowly melds down into a long kind of snake-like appendage that ends in four barbs. And you're kind of watching this. Maybe it's just kind of the stress of the job getting to you. It approaches the car. You're drifting out of sanity. It opens the door slowly. Give me one last POW check to see what happens next.
Wait, this is assuming the doors aren't locked as is?
It's very strong.
Oh, like, not like opening the doors, like unlocking it. Like opening the doors, like, oh, you had a door.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, another POW check?
Yep.
All right, 50 out of 75 success.
All right, so you managed to kind of snap back to reality on this one. You kind of managed to kind of like right yourself just in time for this thing to rip the door off the car and dive in at you, grabbing you with both of its hands. What do you do?
Well, considering it's at so close range to me, I'm going to try to fucking shoot it.
Yeah, give me a dexterity, see if you can get your gun up.
All right.
At minus 20, because the fumble.
All right. 50 minus 20 for a 33 fumble, baby.
All right, so you whip that gun up, kind of lose your grip on it, goes flying out of the car. And the last thing you remember is this thing kind of choking you slowly as you lose consciousness.
Okay. Does that do any damage to me, or do I just pass out?
Dude, just pass out for now. Give me a sand check, though.
All right. 88 fumble out of 68? Are you fucking kidding me? This character is cursed.
All right, so that means you're going to take 12 points of sand damage, and this is all just a super fucked up dream. You're not going to remember any of this when you come to.
Oh, well, I hit a breaking point for sure. Yeah, I hit a breaking point. And I jump past it by 4. So like 4 points past my breaking point.
Excellent. So jumping back inside to Agent Sanguine and Agent Star, you hear the mild, muffled screams of a man yelling from outside as it travels in the cold night air. But you have more important things to deal with right now. What do you do?
So I have a hold of this thing.
You're kind of in a clench. Neither of you has control of the situation. But neither of you also doesn't have control of the other at this point. You're definitely kind of entangled with each other.
Now, I know you might get a good fun out of this, Charlie, because I might cut my own arm off. But can I try to swing up the chainsaw and cut this man, this thing?
Yeah, give me a minus 20, though, because you're kind of, you did grab this thing out of the air, and handling a chainsaw with one hand is kind of hard.
I completely understand. It's only a 86% fail, not a fumble.
Yeah, so kind of it whizzes harmlessly by this thing. Agent Sanguine, you are standing there horrified at this thing as it attacks Agent Star. And it kind of like it lunges at him and just kind of tumbles across the floor. Kind of it whips around and looks at the chainsaw, not at Agent Star. Both of you can give me a search while it's looking.
50% fail.
That is a 42% success.
Its eyeless face whips around the room, focusing on the loudest source of sound in the room as its ears kind of rapidly twist to aim at it. Agent Star, what do you do?
Seeing that, I'm going to just rev the chainsaw and hold it steady.
All right. And hold.
Well, I'm assuming it's going to jump at the loud sound. So I'm like holding it up so that if it jumps at it, it's going to jump straight into the blades or the teeth.
But it's in a bad position. Like, it really kind of did not stick the landing when it fell.
I'll give it a go. I'll swing at it. Why not?
I'll give you a plus 20, too, because I fumbled that attack roll.
Let it go. A 69 out of a modified 70 success.
All right. We talked about how chainsaws work.
No.
So I'm going to say a chainsaw has a 15% lethality on it.
Okay. Let's roll lethality. Lethality fails, but it deals 19 damage regularly.
All right, so how do you do this? Like, you're a man in a basement with a chainsaw fighting a weird Y-shaped pink monstrosity that has a whip for a tail and lower body.
I think Agent Star has been like punched in the face and he's got like blood pouring from his busted lip. And he revs up the chainsaw and he says, "Come on, motherfucker," and takes a step forward and just takes it, like almost swings it like a baseball bat and tries to cleave this thing in two.
Yeah, so chainsaw makes contact with this thing, and maybe it's the fact that it's recently born, but this chainsaw just rips this thing in half, cleaving it kind of from its left shoulder across its abdomen, kind of just in two gory, chunky pieces. They kind of fall as you're tearing through it.
Fuck. Do you hear the yell outside? Star says as he starts moving towards the ripped open cellar doors.
Yeah, I think that was Snail. Shit, we shouldn't have left him by himself. Hold up. They're blind. They hear by sound. Do you think if we...
Look, he just screamed. I don't think we have time to chat. Let's go.
Fuck, okay. Can I open the fucked up doors? Did they try to, like, seal it or anything? What's up with the cellar doors?
I mean, they're pretty badly damaged. Like, what are you trying to do?
Can they open? Can I, like, kick him out?
Oh, you're trying to just open it? You're pushing it out open?
Yeah, pushing it out open.
Oh, yeah, that's totally doable.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. So I push him open, and I take a quick look around.
I mean, yeah, it's just the cold outdoor world of La Fontaine at that point.
All right, I make my way to the car, but I don't immediately go up to the driver's side window. I just kind of have a safe distance, pointing my gun at it.
Star is, like, full-on sprinting over there.
All right, give me athletics.
5% out of 80% success.
37% failure.
Yeah, so Star fucking takes off. Sanguine, you get up the stairs. It's been a jarring last couple minutes type of thing. On behalf of all of us at Negative Modifier, thank you for listening, and we do hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to support the show, please consider rating or reviewing us on your platform of choice, or supporting the show over on our Patreon. In addition to that, if you would like to chat about episodes or with the cast in general, please consider joining our Discord server. Links to all of this and more can be found below in the show notes.
Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.